Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, November 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Donald Trump holds a rally in Eau Claire, and Mincher has a rough opening day. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump likely has come as close to Minnesota as he will get before Election Day. Trump held a campaign rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin last night with a week to go in the campaign. He's made a strong push in Wisconsin despite consistently trailing in polls there to Democrat Hillary Clinton. Tim Pugmire was at the rally and has more.
Trump fans lined up for blocks and waited for hours outside the Zorn Arena on the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus. Eau Claire is about 80 miles east of St. Paul, and plenty of Minnesota supporters made the trip. No matter their home state, those in line shared a common enthusiasm for their candidate and a common dislike of his opponent. Shannon Thompson of McGrath, Minnesota, said he could never vote for Hillary Clinton. Thompson likes a lot about Trump.
He's got a good business rapport. He's got much more going for him. He doesn't have the federal government on him. I mean, all around, he's the best candidate we got right now.
Mary Susan Rare, a Trump volunteer from Chanhassen, made the trip with a carload of friends. Rare said she's not disappointed that Trump hasn't campaigned in Minnesota.
We understand there's a strategy to what he's doing, but ironically, our state, we're doing pretty good without him. We are, you know, it's like, aren't we, guys? I mean, we're 1 or 2 points, you know, and it's like, hey, you know, when it's right and the people hear truth, it comes through social media now, so he doesn't have to come.
Inside the arena, Trump delivered a speech that touched on a wide range of topics. He asked about Minnesota in his remarks about health care.
Who's from Minnesota? Whoa. Wow.
Trump earned loud applause with his familiar pledge to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Right. He shared his concern about the rising health insurance premiums in Wisconsin and also in Minnesota.
The premium increase will be close to 60%, you know that, 60% in Minnesota, and a lot higher following. So that's pretty bad. The Democratic governor has just said the Affordable Care Act in Minnesota is no longer affordable.
Trump repeated his well-traveled pledges to protect the nation's borders, boost the economy, and upgrade the military. But Trump spent most of his 40-minute speech criticizing Hillary Clinton, including the recent news that FBI investigators are again looking into her emails.
This is the biggest scandal since Watergate. And now it's been reported that there are FBI inquiries probing virtually all of Hillary Clinton's inner circle. She wants to blame everyone else.
Trump acknowledged early voters in Wisconsin and Minnesota and said it's not too late for Democrats who might be having buyer's remorse after voting for Clinton to change their minds.
You can change your vote to Donald Trump. We'll make America great again, okay? She is not going to make America great.
Actually, yesterday was the last day for people who voted early in Minnesota to change their votes. Trump has made several campaign stops in Wisconsin this year, but has not set foot in Minnesota since a private fundraiser back in August. He's had no public events in Minnesota. Still, Trump said he believes he can win the state. In Eau Claire, he said he's doing fantastically well in Minnesota. Minnesota DFL Chair Ken Martin says he doesn't take anything for granted, but he's not buying Trump's theory.
They've made little to no investment in this state yet, whether it's TV ads, radio ads, any mailers. They have no staff on the ground, no offices here. And I don't know how in 8 days they think that they're going to be able to overcome Hillary's pretty sizable lead from our own polling.
Trump's Eau Claire rally included introductory remarks from top Wisconsin Republicans, including Governor Scott Walker and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Hillary Clinton has had her own surrogates campaigning in Wisconsin. Just this week, her running mate Tim Kaine and her daughter Chelsea were in the state, another sign that Wisconsin, not Minnesota, is a targeted state in the presidential race this year. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
MinSure officials are hoping the Health Insurance Exchange has a better day today. Day one of open enrollment yesterday brought some familiar troubles for people trying to buy individual or family coverage. There were website problems and long waits on hold for people seeking help. Mark Zadeklik reports.
For about a half hour late Tuesday morning, visitors to the MinSure website were met with an error message. People looking for help waited more than a half hour on hold on average, as thousands of automated robo-type calls swamped the phone system. Governor Mark Dayton implied sabotage was afoot, calling the situation a deliberate disruption. Whatever the cause, this was not the news MinSure CEO Allison O'Toole wanted to share as 2017 open enrollment kicked off. She urged people to be patient and promised problems were being addressed.
We are backed up because of some outside influences into our volume, and we're going to get back on track.
O'Toole says the website troubles were part of widespread problems that disrupted dozens of state websites. She also says within about a half an hour, a temporary fix allowed people to create and access their accounts. But people could not use a comparison shopping tool MinSure has heavily promoted. That tool lives on the main website and was inaccessible for several hours. As for the robocalls to the helpline, Minute, the state's technical arm, says it's investigating them as well as all of the website outages. Scott Peterson is Minute's chief business technology officer.
We just see an inconsistent number of calls from a certain numbers, and so they're tracking down that now and determining what exactly is occurring at those locations. I can speak to the website problems too. That outage actually wasn't caused by MinSure load and actually affected 70 sites statewide, including multiple agency sites. We continue to investigate that issue as well. The sites are back online.
Despite the problems, MinSure CEO Allison O'Toole says the agency served some 50,000 Minnesotans. 15,000 started applications for health insurance, 10 times the number a year ago. She says more than 3,400 had enrolled in a plan by mid-afternoon.
We will have less busy days in the weeks to come, and that will help smooth things out. But as we focus on these opening day details, let's keep our eyes on the big picture, too. Helping tens of thousands of Minnesotans makes this a good day.
O'Toole says there are a couple of reasons so many Minnesotans are going to MinSure so early and not putting off their search for health insurance. For the first time, all but one of the insurance companies selling coverage are limiting the number of policies they're selling. So people want to make sure they don't get locked out of the coverage and provider network they want. O'Toole also says massive increases in premiums have people flocking to the website to see if they qualify for federal tax credits that could make coverage more affordable. As MinSure tries to move beyond the day one problems, O'Toole is reiterating her call for individual market health insurance customers to start with MinSure because it's the only way to get premium subsidies. She says many eligible Minnesotans are leaving money on the table.
Last year, about 100,000 eligible Minnesotans, didn't take advantage of these tax credits. Those Minnesotans lost an average of $210 a month, or about $2,500 over the course of the year. 100,000 Minnesotans left money on the table, and we don't want that to happen again.
Open enrollment runs through January of next year. Covering health, I'm Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon was the target of an anti-Semitic online post accusing him of plotting to steal the election from Donald Trump. Anti-discrimination advocates say they've seen an increase this election season in online hate speech aimed at politicians and journalists. Lorna Benson has more.
Steve Simon says he stumbled upon the post on Craigslist while scanning his news feed for election-related stories. The anonymous commenter referred to Simon with multiple disparaging terms and accused him of working to orchestrate a Democratic win for the state. Craigslist could not be reached for comment, but has taken down the post. Simon says he was startled by it.
My first reaction was that it was horrible, ugly, hateful language, and there's no place for language like that anywhere, directed at anyone.
Simon is Jewish, but this is the first time he's ever been attacked for it. He says that realization gave him comfort, and he quickly concluded that the comments do not represent what most Minnesotans think of him.
Whoever posted this represents a tiny fringe minority of people, And I just think we have to remember that.
But rather than letting it go, Simon also says it's important to call out hateful speech when it's found. And there's been more to be found this election season.
We're seeing an uptick in terms of the type of vitriol that is out there, especially on social media sites.
Lonnie Nassiter is regional director of the Anti-Defamation League in the Upper Midwest. The group recently published an analysis of anti-Semitic Twitter postings directed at journalists during the 2016 campaign. The review found a significant increase in anti-Semitic tweets from January to July as coverage of the presidential campaign intensified. Nassiter says a lot is at stake in this presidential election, and that's likely motivating more hate speech.
I think that's stoking fear, and it's stoking people to kind of feel even more comfortable to espouse their hate online, maybe more so than 6 months ago as we're kind of getting to the home stretch of the election.
Nassiter says an unfortunate effect of the barrage of hate speech is that it dulls people's reactions to it and makes them more likely to be resigned to the idea that this is the new direction of public discourse. He says people need to combat that possibility by going out of their way to talk up the good things that diversity brings to the country. Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon agrees, but says he also wants people to know that he's taking this experience in stride.
So it's this balance of wanting to call out this kind of language, regardless of who it's directed against, but also not letting it take anyone sort of off track or off balance. It's certainly not going to do that to me.
Simon says his number one priority right now is focusing on his job and ensuring the election he will oversee in a week runs smoothly. I'm Lorna Benson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.